on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Inter-Dominion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And at 28 to 11, it's time for On the Punt. Greg Hayes joins us. Morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Big show today. We're going to have a chat about the Queensland Winter Carnival, which is already underway. And we saw Saturday night racing. So Chris Barsby's going to join us to have a chat about what happened on Saturday night. We'll also look forward to this Saturday night. They've got the running of the Oaks. They've also got the running of the Sunshine Sprint. And then the carnival will culminate on Saturday week with the running of the Group 1 Blacks Are Fake. So we'll have a chat to Chris about that. Also want to have a chat this morning with Robbie Morris. He will have a trotter called a Pharisee go around in a Group 1 coming up this weekend. He qualified the horse for the Vic Bred Final last week. So we'll have a chat to Rob about that. He was hoping to qualify Charlevoix. Initially, the plans were to have Charlevoix go around in the Breeders' Challenge in New South Wales. He failed to qualify for that. So they took him to Victoria to try and squeeze into the Vic Bred, and he won his heat impressively, but then he was down the track in the semi-final. So we'll have a chat to Rob about him as well. Also want to speak with Anthony Perkins today. Now, we hear plenty about a number of different pacing sires coming to the state of New South Wales, and obviously the breeding industry is on the up and up in the state. But I want to have a chat to Anthony about a horse that a trotter, a very talented trotter that is now available to breeders in the state, and that is Sebastian Kay. And progeny of Sebastian Kay will be eligible for the True Blue bonus if the mare is served in New South Wales and the foal is born and registered in New South Wales, and also the New South Wales Breeders Challenge Blue incentive, which means a $500 cash bonus paid to the broodmare owner upon confirmation of a 42-day positive pregnancy test. So we'll have a chat with Anthony Perkins today about that champion trotting stallion Sebastian Kay, and he was an absolute star on the racetrack. Dan Patch Trotter of the Year in 2014, and he was the first horse to break 151 in four successive starts, of course, as a trotter. And also on the show today, I want to catch up with Ben Woodsford. There was a very nasty fall at Newcastle on Saturday night. Four drivers came out. Mark Callaghan and Katie McGill basically were okay, but unfortunately, we had injuries to Ben Woodsford and also Peter Hedges. Now, Peter Hedges has got bruising to his back. It was around the kidney region, and they did a lot of tests with Pete just to make sure everything's okay. He's reported that he is okay, a bit stiff and sore, but there's nothing broken, which is good news. But Ben is the one who's come out of it the worst. He's actually broken his wrist and is going to be out of action for quite some time. And he was operated on yesterday, and I've contacted him this morning, and he said he'll come on and have a chat with us as well. So that's what's coming up on the show. But first up, we're going to talk about the Queensland Winter Carnival, which is well and truly underway after a big night there on Saturday night at Albion Park. And Chris Barsby, the man behind the binoculars, is joining us to have a chat. Morning, Chris.
Greg, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone.
Well, the Mark Purden, Nat Rasmussen team, they've arrived in Queensland, and they start the carnival with a bang. Two starters, two winners.
And two very impressive performers as well, with Party On taking the Provincial Oaks. She'll back up this Saturday night in the feature, the Queensland Oaks. And that race, given how she performed on Saturday night, really looks at her mercy now, because she was very strong, 26-9 that last quarter on the way home, and she was holding off the very highly regarded Chartin with a little bit of ease for mine, so she's clearly the horse to beat. And it's just great to see her back in winning form. She had that little bit of a lull midway through the season, but she's back to her best, and the more the better. It was an absolute romp for him taking out the Group 3 Premier's Cup. It's a race that has been kind of the all-star stable in recent years, and they continued on Saturday night. He scored easily. He too will back up this weekend in the Provincial Derby. His big target comes up in 2 weeks' time with the Queensland Derby, but he is clearly the three-year-old to beat in those Derby features in the next fortnight.
This Saturday night, we've got the running, as you mentioned, of the Queensland Oaks at Group 2 level. Also, the Sunshine Sprint. So a few of the big guns will get there for that, and, of course, aim up at the Blacks Are Fake again the following week.
Yeah, and early nominations look very good for this week's feature, the Garrard Sunshine Sprint. The Aiken pair, Lenny the Shark, Hector JJ, they're amongst nominations. Byfield Marshall, a last-start winner of the Group 1 Len Smith Mile, down there in Sydney at Menangle. He's amongst nominations, along with Mark Doro. The following week with the Blacks of Fake, that's the final Grand Circuit leg of the season for 2016-17. That promises to be an outstanding race. We've got a number of runners starting this weekend south of the border with the likes of Tiger Tara, Ultimate Art. We've also got Soho Tribeca starting this weekend down in Melbourne. Connections of all of those runners have outlined they're keen to get to Brisbane for that $200,000 feature. So that promises to be an absolute crack. But I'm sure this weekend will be a great race. Last year, Hector JJ sailed down the outside, rating 51.8. They might even go a little bit quicker, weather permitting, on the weekend. And it's going to be all important to see who drives Myfield Marshall. It is expected that Dexter Dunn will come across and partner Myfield Marshall. And who will drive Lenny the Shark, with Chris Alford having so many commitments on Vic Bread Super Series night down there in Melton. That driver's up for grabs. So it'll be very interesting. Draws for these features this weekend out a little bit later today.
It's interesting. You mentioned those the four big guns that have nominated for Saturday night, and then you add to the mix horses like Tiger Tara, Ultimate Art, Soho Tribeca. We've seen some big stars turn up at the Queensland Winter Carnival in the past, and you know, horses like I'm the Mighty Quinn, and they are big crowd magnets. They will bring the people. But this carnival, when you've got horses like Lenny and Hector and Myfield Marshall, MacDoro, Tiger Tara, there is so much depth across the race, and all of a sudden it adds a lot of interest to the true racing purist.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And as we know, just looking at that last result from Sydney with the Lensmith Mile, Myfield Marshall went off at big odds winning that race, downing Lenny the Shark and Hector JJ, who were expected to dominate that race. So it's one of those things that the Grand Circuit, you've got to be at your absolute best every time that you step onto the track. And if you're a little bit short, you'll be found out quickly. So can't wait for the next 2 weeks. The Sunshine Sprint will be an absolute cracker. They'll run it hard from the get-go, and it'll be much the same the following week, although we're going up in distance. We go from the sprint journey this weekend to the staying journey of 2,680 metres the following week. So these races are going to be keenly contested. And as long as you're in that field, you've got a chance of winning.
Mate, what about the Derby? You mentioned the more the better, and he'll race in the Provincial Derby this week. But is there going to be anything that's going to challenge him in less than a fortnight?
Well, it's probably unlikely. There's a number of New South Wales horses that have flagged some interest. One race in particular, which takes place on Saturday night at Menangle, could have a bearing on the Queensland Derby the following week. The last race on Saturday night at Menangle, connections of Better Vision, Red Bank Blaze, Joe Star of Nia, Gotta Go Yahoo. They've all flagged good interest in the Derby, but obviously they've got to get through that race on Saturday night. So if they all race well and come through unscathed, I'm sure we'll probably see a number of those runners heading up the other highway for the Derby. But the way it's looking, it's looking like his race to lose, the more the better. He was ultra impressive, taking on older rivals there in the Premier's Cup on Saturday night, understanding start conditions, and he treated them with contempt over the concluding stages. So he's clearly the number one horse to beat in the Derby, but I'm sure a number of these interstaters will give it a crack if they make the trek north.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for that, and good luck, good calling, and catch up with you on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Chris Barsby. He is the race caller at Albion Park. He will call the Winter Carnival. Great start to the carnival on Saturday night. And New South Wales had a bit of success. Well done to Brad Hewitt, who took up Spare Me Days. Also, My Casino Bell as well. But the good news with Spare Me Days was that win on Saturday night in the Mr. Feelgood has guaranteed the horse a start in the Blacks of Fake, because it was a race where you win and you get a ballot free. So well done to Brad Hewitt. He's no stranger to success in Queensland. I think they took Sweet Molly O'Shea up and had some success. So when Spare Me Days won on Saturday night, beating the Space Invader and Majestic Major, Spare Me Days runs through to the Blacks of Fake in just under 2 weeks' time. It was, it's been a mixed trip for Robbie Morris down to Victoria. He's got some talented horses, drives some talented horses for his partner, Kerri-Ann Turner. But we did see a nice trotter prove too strong when Pharisee took out its heat of the Vic Bread, and he's joining me to have a chat. Morning, Rob.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Really well. You must be happy with how Pharisee's going.
Yeah, no, he's really good. He's done a really good job. I think he's only had a handful of starts as a trotter, and to get to where he's got to so far, it's a credit to himself.
Yeah, let's have a chat about that. Started his career as a pacer. What made you think, well, we'll take the gear off this bloke and see what he can do as a trotter?
Yeah, look, he was sort of just working up, and there was a few really good people around him that sort of suggested to me that he sort of wasn't a real good pacer, and he sort of, I went down and watched him, and he, driving him wise, he was not a very good pacer at all, so we sort of took him off him thinking we'd give him a little bit of a gallop, and he actually sort of just kept trotting, so we sort of just kept trotting him along. He got faster and faster, and sort of the rest is history.
So the decision always, like when he showed that good form, he went round in early May and then he raced again in June, won a couple of races for you. When was the decision, yep, let's go back for the Vic Bred and see if we can give it a shake?
Well, we always had it in the back of our minds just because that's where he was always from, where he was staked for. And we always thought he was pretty good from a pretty early stage. So we always had it in our mind, but in saying that, he had to be doing everything right at the time. And we freshened him up and then gave him a couple of races. And these last couple of starts before he came was exceptional. So we thought, yeah, we'll bring him down and give it a go.
Now, his win on Thursday at Geelong, it was very good. Enrolled, the favourite in the race. You ducked back into the sprint lane and Enrolled looked to be getting a little bit rocky and you drove Pharisee aggressively in the late stages. Enrolled went up in the air and you were able to get the victory.
Yeah, look, he's sort of, he's one of them horses, Pharisee. He's a little bit green. He still doesn't know what he's doing. Going up the sprint lane was a little bit of a change for him as well, but it was sort of our only option. And, he took a little bit to get going once he got in there and wind up, but he was sort of hitting top gear just before the other horse made a break, and I was sort of pretty confident throughout the whole way race.
Is that speed that he's got? Is that the biggest asset that he has?
Yeah, he's the biggest asset that he's probably got is a trotter with pace and speed. That's really the only way you can say it. I've been lucky enough over the years to drive some really good trotters, and he'll reel off quarters that horses shouldn't run when you're a trotter. I know three starts ago, I'm an angle. They went 55.5 for the mile, and he come from last, and I think his personal time was 55.5, his last half. And that was three wide coming from last. So, yeah, he's got unbelievable speed, which helps you in any sort of racehorse.
Just got to hope now for a barrier, and the barrier draw comes out at 11 o'clock this morning, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's one of them things. There's a couple of really nice trotters in it, but we're in a really good spot with him. I couldn't be happier with him, and for him to even be there on Friday night, it's a credit to all involved.
What do you do? What's Kerry going to do with him after Friday night? He hasn't had a lot of runs this campaign. Do you keep pushing on?
Probably after Friday night, we'll probably take him home. Take him home for a little bit. We might have a couple of easy days, maybe even an easy week. And he's also Breeders' Crown eligible. So I dare say his next run will probably be straight back down here for the Breeders' Crown heats. Yeah.
And the travel obviously doesn't knock him around at all.
No, he's been here with me now for a good week now. And he hasn't left the grain, not once yet. So he's an all-round good little racehorse. His manners have got better and better every time he hits the racetrack, and he's just a good little horse, yeah.
No, dude, New South Wales pre-out on Friday night. Now, what about Charleval? You went around in the Breeders' Challenge semi-finals. He didn't qualify. You decided to go down to the Vic Bred. You won your heat, and you were very impressive. He went around in his semi-final on Friday night. He finished last. Is everything okay?
Everything seems perfect with him. Hasn't left a grain. Yeah, everything seemed above and beyond, but he's just been a little bit patchy for some unknown reason. We had a vet to him yesterday just to double check him, go over him. Not a thing wrong with him. Kerry's entered him for Saturday night. There's an M1 and M2 race at Melton, so he'll probably race there on Saturday night and then go towards the Vic Bred Consolations the following Thursday. It's a little bit frustrating for both myself and Kerry and his owner, Daniel Cordina, and the whole team. But, at the moment, he's done it. He's done a great job. He doesn't know anyone anything. But it's just a bit concerning that he's racing a little bit inconsistent the way he is. There's nothing seems to be faulting him. He seems terrific in himself. So we just got to keep ticking things over and just sort of trying to get him to race consistent again.
And if everything goes well and he races well this week and then again in the consolation, would that be the end of his season when he gets home?
Just depends. Depends how he's going after these next two runs. If he's being a little bit patchy like he is now, I'd suggest probably yes. But he's also Breeders' Crown eligible. So the plan for him was to race right through to the end of August and then go for a spell then and then the plan sort of was then was to have a look at a couple of them really good races towards the end of the year. We'll sort of up in the air whether we nominated him for the Inters or those sort of things, because he'll be five then, and it'll be about time he has to step into that calibre of horse to see how he matches up.
It's been another good season for Kerri-Anne, another century of winners. She's got the 115 up in New South Wales and recently hit a milestone in terms of number of winners trained. Must be proud of the way the team's going.
Yeah, super proud of Kerri. Super proud of the whole team, the whole family at home. It's a family affair, and everyone works very hard, from Kerri and my old man and the staff to my mum looking after Archie when we're flat out. So it's a family affair, and there's a lot of hard work that gets involved with it. We've got a really good team, and we're just blessed. We've got a really good team of people around us. We've got a good client base, and we've got nice horses that just sort of keep turning over and doing their job. So we're very lucky.
And you brought up 100 winners for yourself recently too in New South Wales, so another century of winners for you. Mate, well done. Good luck with the barrier draw. Good luck on Friday night, and do the state proud.
No worries, mate. Thanks for your time.
There he is, Robbie Morris. He is going to drive Pharisee in the Vicbred final on Friday night. The way they do it, they have their trotting finals on Friday, they have their pacing finals on Saturday, and some absolute cracking races coming up in that series. And interesting to see Emma Stewart. She's got such a big domination on those feature juvenile races, and obviously she's going to win some finals on Saturday night. There is no doubt about that. It was interesting to watch the racing at Menangle on Saturday night, the first time we've seen the condition racing, and interesting to hear what people had to say. I think it was a success. We saw some favourites score. Obviously, the performance of the mare in the first race, Cyclone Kate, she was expected to win, but Lord Zinzan winning the second race, a $4.50 chance. Charlie McSheen, he won one of the conditioned races on Saturday night as well. He was one of the favourites in the race. And obviously, a little bit later on, we saw Tiger Tara. He won the top grade of the night. He'll go around again this Saturday night. Pretty similar field, although you do get Better Bet Black into that field, who's going to obviously inject some early speed. They went 152.7 home in 28.27.1. He has got those free-for-alls at Menangle, that top level in the condition racing, at his mercy. I know they're going to go to Queensland for the Blacks Are Fake, but when he comes back, he could just go around, and Kevin Pizzuto's got no problems with sending him around every week. He could win 8 or 9 of those in a row, because there's just nothing at the moment. Although he's going to draw barrier 10 most weeks, there's nothing in the state that can go anywhere near him. Anthony Perkins is joining me now because we're going to have a chat about a chance for trotting breeders to breed to Sebastian Kay. Now, he was an absolute star trotter. He dominated America in 2014. He was the Dan Patch Trotter of the Year in 2014. And he is obviously very, very, or was very talented on the racetrack. Anthony Perkins is joining me to have a chat. Anthony, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Greg?
Really well, thank you. Tell us a little bit about Sebastian Kay.
Well, it's his second season now that he's Siemens going to be available. You know, he was such a super, as you mentioned, such a super racehorse. He's just had his first major crop in at Hanover Shoe Farms, so he's in the best stud in the world. And the owners have been really generous, and we're able to offer some great specials for breeders this season.
It's the good thing is the fact that the way it's set up, that his progeny can be eligible for that True Blue bonus and also the New South Wales Breeders' Challenge Blue incentive, that $500 cash bonus paid to broodmare owners. So that's important for trotting breeders in New South Wales to remember.
Yeah, well, it makes it affordable. You know, his service fee in America is $6,000, so it converts to just over 8,000 Australian. And, you know, we're able to offer him a discount for 20% for this month. So you're able to get him for less than half of what he stands for in America. And just being such a super stallion and with the bonuses, you know, I think it's a tremendous offer.
It's his racetrack performances. So, well, he retired with that world record.
Yeah, well, he never wore shoes. He didn't wear boots. He was just the perfect gait. You know, he was a champion in Sweden. They took him to North America as an eight-year-old. His first four starts, he broke 151. You know, he equaled the world record at his first start. And then, you know, at his fourth start, he ran into 149, you know, leading from the outside barrier on a 1,000-metre track. It's and no one's been able to get near the time since.
Yeah, it's there'd have to be a fair bit of interest in him. How do people, if they want to breed to him, what should they do?
Well, they can. There's numerous ways. They can jump onto our website, which is www.trumpbloodstock.com.au, or they could just give my mobile a ring. It's 0451 958 203. We do have a fair bit of semen this season, so you know, it'd be great for breeders to come along. We're seeing that the cross, that French stallions with the North American mares crossing so well with Love You, what he's done in Australia, and Sebastian Kay being bred on the same lines and just being such a fast and perfect gated horse. Really hope his progeny do the same over here as well.
That's so important, isn't it? The trotting gait, making sure that, and you mentioned it, the fact that he never wore boots or shoes. That's, you know, if he can put that into his progeny, well, all of a sudden that's half the battle.
Yeah, especially with a lot of the, you know, Australian mares are going to have a lot of them seem to have a bit of pacing blood in them, and just being a true trotting bred out of Europe, you know, and just being such a flawless gait, you'd think, you know, you'd think he'd have to breed, you know, some really nice horses down under.
Yeah, for sure and certain. All right, so you mentioned there's a that special on for the month?
Yeah, we're offering 20% discount if people book in this month to the 1st of August. You know, we'd like to get as many people coming in, especially from New South Wales. Like you said, there's a $500 rebate, you know, from Harness Racing New South Wales as well. So his service fee really is only going to cost the breeder about $3,700. And it's just tremendous value. Plus, you know, you've got your bonuses, and with a limited pool of horses out of New South Wales, you know, we've really got the chance to earn some really good money for breeders.
Anthony, thanks for joining me this morning, and all the best of luck with Sebastian Kay.
Thanks, Greg. You have a great day.
You too. There is Anthony Perkins. Anthony, the website is www.trumpbloodstock.com.au. And the mobile number, if you want to catch up with Anthony, is 0451 958 203. 0451 958 203. Now, I've just got a message through to say that Ben's phone's playing up. So we've got another number to call him on. If you didn't see what happened on Saturday night, it was a really, really nasty fall at Newcastle. Four drivers were all tipped out, but the one that's come off the worst is young Ben Woodsford. He's been having a really good season, a career best season, of course, born in New Zealand, but he's over now in Australia and he's working for the Tritton team. He had his broken wrist operated on yesterday at the John Hunter Hospital. He's been there since the fall on Saturday night, and the broken wrist apparently is in three places, the break. So we're going to catch up with Ben right now and just find out what the latest is. Morning, Ben.
How you going, Greg?
Mate, I'm okay. I would assume you're pretty stiff and sore this morning.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sore, and you know, been a rough few days, but I'm on my way home now, so we'll go back on Monday and so we'll go from there.
All right, so yesterday they operated and they were able to fix some of the damage?
Yeah, they put one plate, I think 9 screws in my wrist yesterday. They said it came up pretty good, so they were pretty happy with the way it came back together.
And what's the what's the report from the doctors in terms of how long it's going to take you to get back to where you were?
They reckon about 3 months.
Do you remember much of the fall?
Not really. I just remember being in the air and then I was sort of blacked out and got knocked out, and that was sort of it.
It must be a very scary thing. And obviously working for Shane and Lauren had that wrist. She injured her wrist at Menangle a couple of years ago at around this time, and she obviously missed a fair chunk of the season. It's come at a really bad time for you, mate, because you were starting to get some momentum up. You were getting a lot of drives, and you were starting to pick up those winners.
Yeah, look, I was driving good, and I was getting a few drives and good opportunities off Shane and Lauren and picking up a few outside drives here and there, and I was going good, but that's just racing, I suppose.
So what do you do for the next 3 months? You just basically got to sit and wait for the wrist to heal.
Yeah, sit and wait and watch.
That's going to be tough for you, mate, sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, correct.
So do they get you into physio to once the breaks heal to some extent to try and get some strength back in the wrist?
Yeah, the doctor said I've got to go back up next Monday so they can make a plastic splint up on my wrist, and then we'll go from there and wait a few weeks, and then we'll get straight into physio and see how we go.
All right, mate. Before we let you go, a little bit about you. Born in New Zealand, made the trip across the Tasman to link up with the Tritton camp. But what was, tell us about your involvement in harness racing back home in New Zealand.
Well, I was actually working with my old man at the start. He trained scallopers, and I was going to be too big to be a jockey. So I went and drove one for A. Stewart one day, and I'd never look back. And then Shane come over for Saldy Robin for the Jewels and come talk to us in cadets class, and he said, we're always looking for workers. And I just stuck my hand up and said, you know, is there a job for me? And he said, yep, and I've never looked back.
Okay. So, and when you arrived in Australia, did you find it tough? Has it been tough being away from home?
Oh, look, it's had its days, but not really. Shane and Lauren, you know, they treat me like family and they make me feel like I'm at home, and I couldn't ask for better bosses.
Yeah, it's interesting. You obviously live in Sydney now, but you've been up in Newcastle, and I know that speaking with Shane yesterday at the races, Lauren hasn't left your side from the time she arrived there at the hospital, and that's a pretty fair effort because Lauren's only 3 or 4 weeks away from having a baby. So that gives people some idea how important you are to an important part of that team, that Tritton team.
Yeah, look, I couldn't thank Lauren any more. You know, she texted me. She said she wished she could have been there with me. I said, you know, and she got up to the hospital as soon as she could, and she hasn't left my side since.
Well, mate, hope you recover quickly. All the best of luck with your rehab, and we'll give you a bell just before you're ready to resume and try and give you a kick along in that regard.
Thank you, Hazy.
No problems. There he is, Ben Woodsford, young reinsman. He was just starting to click into gear, especially on those the tracks just out of town. Newcastle, he was having a lot of success. The majority of his drives were coming from the Tritton stable, but he was, as he said in the interview, starting to pick up a few outside drives, and then he succumbs or falls badly on Saturday night. Broken wrist, 3 places, 1 plate, 9 screws, and looks as though he'll be out for the best part of 3 months. So let's wish him all the best of luck in his recovery. So what's coming up this week? We've got the best of in the gig starting tonight on Sky Racing 2. That'll be around for the next 6 or 7 weeks as we have a mid-season break. Menangle on Saturday night, they've got the 9 races. The first event there gets underway at 5:17. We'll have the fields out for the Queensland Winter Carnival Night 2 come out later today. Also the Vicbred finals as well, and there's plenty of New South Wales interest right across that. And we look forward to the Blacks Are Fake, Sean, on Saturday week. So that about wraps me up for a Tuesday. And I'll be back again next Tuesday with another edition of On The Pace.